please remember the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
We should be able to penetrate the internet.
Do I need to be liked? Absolutely not. I like to be liked. I enjoy being liked. I have to be liked. But it's not like this compulsive need to be liked, like my need to be praised.
Welcome to the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net, WDVR. I am your host, Marquee Davis, coming to you from the Palatial Studios here in Atlanta, Georgia. I am so glad to be with you all tonight. Last week, I didn't make it to the live show. It was my son's birthday. We celebrated that. He turned 5. And the first thing, you know, I want to talk about, well, tell you guys a little something personal here. But on my youngest son's birth, he was actually a very difficult birth for me and my wife. All right, we already had, you know, 3 kids before him. He's our 4th child. And he was breech, you know. We went into the hospital that night, and he wasn't head down, you know, when they checked her. So they brought in the ultrasound specialist, and she checked, and he was butt forward, you know, towards the vaginal canal or whatever they want to call it. And we were about to do a C-section. So they gave me my little smock and everything, and I was putting it on, and the midwife came in and checked my wife again, and he was head down. So she was like, hey, we finna have this baby right now. We were in the triage. We weren't even in a room that was set up to birth a baby. We were in the triage. And so the midwife, you know, said, hey, we got to get this baby. So I was holding my wife's leg, left leg up as far as it could go. And she pushed, he came out. But his umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck like 2 times. And his face was swollen and purple. Well, you know, I know babies come out, you know, their face is sometimes swollen, but his was really swollen and he wasn't breathing. And it scared me. I started to tear up thinking that my, you know, son had passed away because his umbilical cord had, you know, choked him, killed him. So the midwife, I don't know what she did. She snatched that umbilical cord off his neck, patted him like 3 or 4 times, and he started crying. So I'm like, whew, you know, my wife is like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing, babe. Everything's fine. I'm just smiling and happy. So his birthday is really special to me because, you know, of that situation. That's why I wasn't on last week. We celebrated his birthday pretty hardcore. I mean, you know, for a 5-year-old standard, we didn't get drunk or do meth or anything. So here we go. So this week's show, I want to talk to you guys about compassion. All right. I after reading so many comments on YouTube, Facebook, you know, on news articles, I realized that we lack compassion here in the United States. I mean, in the whole world as a whole, generally, we lack that comfort to actually show compassion. Everybody wants to be hardcore. Everybody wants to be about getting money. You know, my money is everything, that kind of stuff. And we seem to have forgotten about just the basic decency of being a human. Now, I want to draw you guys' attention to this story here that I found about a 911 operator who should be the most compassionate people in the world, by the way, who told a woman who was drowning, I don't know why you're freaking out. So apparently, Deborah Stevens, 47, was delivering newspapers around 5 a.m. on Saturday. This was printed on August the 30th, so last week. On Saturday, as a flash flood swept her car into some trees off of the road. And as the waters began to rise, she called 911. Well, the operator, Donna Renou, is probably a French name. I can't pronounce it. Whatever. You can look it up. You can find a story on Yahoo. Who had put in her 2 weeks notice earlier that month, was working her final shift and received a call from Miss Stevens. This is from the Times Record is reporting this. So she had worked for the Fort Smith Police Department. This is Fort Smith, Arkansas. And she pretty much started saying the recording contains, this is what the police department put out. The recording contains the audio of a dying person's last moment, as well as the interactions between her and the 911 operator. And while the operator's response to this extremely tense and dynamic event sounds calloused and uncaring at times, sincere efforts were being made to locate Mrs. Stevens. So they say in the audio recording as well, you can hear Mrs. Stevens saying, please help me, I don't want to die. And the response from the operator was, you're not going to die, hold on for a minute. You know, and I understand that, you know, 911 operators get some drastic phone calls and some things that are, you know, horrific to hear. And then the people who actually go, the first responders, see some of these horrific and just devastating acts happening, or the aftermath of them happening. So my first thing that I want to talk about is compassion. Okay, people. So why, if you hear someone say, I don't want to die, the first thing I would do, you know, this is just coming from someone, you know, me, is I would try to calm the situation down, you know, using a soft voice and saying, it's okay, someone's on the way. You know, you hear it before. We know what compassion is. It's just that I understand that she put in her 2 weeks notice and she probably was tired of the job. But to ask someone, I don't know why you're freaking out when you're in a car filling with water, knowing you are about to drown, knowing you are taking your last gulps of air, and you're just like, at that time, I know a lot of people don't believe in prayer, but it's like me, I'm that kind of person. I'd be like, look, I don't know what's going to happen right now, but you know, let's just sit here and talk about it. Maybe can I pray for you right now? Let's just see if anything can happen. Let's see if the great Buddha will fall out of a tree and help you right now. I don't know. I'm trying to help you. So, I mean, it's not a funny situation at all. Someone lost their life, but still, compassion. We have to understand about compassion. Same thing here. We have another story about Ellie Gould. Remember the girl who was stabbed, 17. She was stabbed by a boy from her high school, where news has just come out that she was stabbed because she told him she was too busy for a relationship. She didn't want him to be her boyfriend, so he killed her. Now, she probably said this in the most sincere way possible. From the pictures I'm seeing of her, she seemed like a lovely young lady. You know, he seemed like a young dude. You know, he didn't seem, his pictures, other than his mugshot. You know, you could tell in his mugshot he was crying or whatever and highly upset. But like the other pictures they have of him, he's a smiling young teen. He just got rejected. Now, rejection can upset someone a lot. You know, I mean, any type of rejection can make you either stop doing something, go into a depression, or get upset about something. But my thing is, someone in his family could have seen him hurting at this point, you know, from the rejection. So, like I said, again, compassion, even in the family, you have to show compassion in a way that doesn't stifle someone's growth. Let me say that again. You have to show compassion in a way that doesn't stifle someone's growth. That means that even if in rejection, you know, you learn something. Every day we are constantly learning something. Everyone is learning something, either physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, every single day. So when I say you have to show compassion in a way that isn't stifling their growth, that means that, you know, you don't take a hands-off approach. No, you show them that love. You show them that affection. You show them that you care. You show them, oh man, this can hurt you. This is serious. But, you know, don't let this one time ruin every other relationship you may have. And that's exactly what this young man did. What's his name? Thomas Griffith. Griffin's. Why are all these weird last names? It's like too many I's in that. But still, he attacked her and killed her with a knife. Now, he may have been disturbed, you know, but still, when we have children killing other children because they get rejection, that can only mean that they're not shown affection somewhere else. You know, rejection is a part of life. You get used to it and move on to the next one. You know, like what the old people, there's plenty of fish in the sea. That's what old people used to say, you know. And also, as parents, we have to teach our kids how to cope with common disappointments in life. Understand what I'm saying? Many of our children that I see, the millennial generation, are unprepared to function if some type of adversity enters their life. You know, it's this video game generation. I play video games, yes. I love video games. But I don't get so immersed in them that I lose track of reality. And that's what happens nowadays. We have a lot of these young folks that have lost track of reality because they've become so immersed in a fictitional world. They believe that that made up reality is real life. I have problems with this with my children. I remember one time my son, my second oldest son, we was in the car. He said, "Dad, what would happen if you jumped off that building?" I said, "I'd probably die." He said, "But wouldn't you respawn?" I was like, "No, you don't respawn in real life. You don't get second lives. You don't get a third chance. You die and you die. You are gone. So you live life to the fullest, but you be smart about it. So that way you can learn from that." Understand what I'm saying? Now, here's a story that I find is shows great compassion. Great compassion. You know, it shows what we should be as a society. Instead of saying F the police, we should try to incorporate them within our community so that way we know that our homes are protected, our children are protected. That's what people seem to forget, is that I'm more concerned about my child than I am about myself. Now, that's another whole topic, but let's focus on this story here. This story here is it happened in Newburgh, New York. Okay. So some cops were called to shut down a lemonade stand run by some kids. Well, instead of the cops shutting it down, they bought some lemonade from the kids. So I'm going to read the story for you. Okay. So a pair of local police officers who were called to shut down a group of kids' lemonade stand are being praised online for buying a drink and supporting the young entrepreneurs instead. That's one thing I love to read, is when we support young entrepreneurs, whether they're 4 years old, 5 years old. A lot of us weren't taught to pursue our own businesses. No, we were taught to, you go to work, you suck it up, you drive on, you drink water, you take your ibuprofen, and you continue to work hard for this company who was started by somebody. You don't think about starting your own company. Nope. You think about serving this guy or this gal who has a company, and you work your ass off for them for years and years and years, and then you might get a meager retirement and move to Florida, and life goes on, right? So when I see stories of even if they were just trying to get some money to buy candy, you've thought of an idea and a plan, you put it together, and you began to sell the product. I mean, at a young age, that's a great way to start thinking. Build yourself out of poverty. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it. I know people might not agree with me on this, but I'm going to say it, that a lot of people who are impoverished here in the United States only see one way out, and that is by working for someone 9 to 5. Yeah. I'm not going to say the typical thing of, oh, they just want to be basketball players or drug dealers or, you know, things of that nature. No, many of us think that if we go to a job 9 to 5 every day, all day, we come home, spend 3 or 4 hours with our families, go to sleep, wake up, do the same thing, rinse, wash, repeat, you know, and it's just sad that we think that way instead of thinking outside of the box, creating a business or creating something that we can put our own stamp on. Understand what I'm saying? So let's finish with the story. The kids at Barclay Manor in Newburgh, New York, usually spend their summer break swimming in the neighborhood pool, except for Mondays and Tuesdays when its gates are closed. Looking for something to occupy their time, 6-year-old Elijah asked her mom if she could start a lemonade stand with her friend. So they got together, the group of friends, got a table, and started making drinks from the Dollar Tree. They got some mix from the Dollar Tree. And I guess they say it turns out better than they thought it would be, and so they decide to sell it. Now, I wonder who called the cops. I mean, that's weird. Let's see. While the local kids were enjoying running their roadside business, an unknown resident, okay, that's who called it, an unknown resident, was less than pleased with the lemonade stand, especially during rush hour. They reported to the Newburgh Police Department for causing some traffic, asking law enforcement to shut it down. Yeah, you know what? And that's a part of the compassionate thing right there as well. You have someone who was probably in rush, during rush, you know, in a rush to get home or in a rush to get to work or wherever they were going because, you know, life is just too short and I have to do everything extremely fast. I have to go. Instead of them saying, you know what, let me stop and pay a dollar for a cup of lemonade and help these little kids out. I don't know where the money's going to, but let me help them out. Instead, they called the police. And so the police came and did something that was showed compassion, that showed that, hey, you know what? We're not going to shut you down. We're going to allow you to continue to sell your lemonade and learn from this experience. That's what I'm talking about. So you guys have been listening to the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net. We talked about compassion, people. Now, next segment, we are not going to talk about compassion because I'm pissed off about something. So I'm going to be yelling and screaming. But here we go. So stay tuned after this commercial break and don't go nowhere.
What's DV Radio?
DV Radio is for you, the veteran, active duty service member, caregiver, and civilian supporter of the military. DVRadio.net is the online veteran network made for and by veterans. From original shows to syndication, you can find it here on DVRadio.net. In an effort to continue our mission and make better quality shows for each and every one of you, visit our Patreon at patreon.com/DVRadio. Whether you can only pledge $1 per month or that entire $1 million inheritance your uncle left you, there's a tier with rewards waiting for you. So why not keep DV Radio running and get rewarded at the same time? Head to patreon.com/DVRadio now. That's patreon.com/DVRadio.
Radio.
And welcome back to the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net. WDVR, I am Marquee Davis. Yes, I am. I was yesterday, I am today, and I should be tomorrow. Man, make myself laugh, huh? So, one thing that has been irking my nerves over the past couple weeks is this Popeye's chicken sandwich. Yes. So apparently if you get some chicken and mayo and some tomatoes and a pickle and you fry it up and turn that sumbitch sideways, you have you a Popeye's chicken sandwich, everybody. And the world went crazy. Well, the United States went crazy over this Popeye's chicken sandwich and it was everywhere. It's just a chicken sandwich, people. Well, have you had one? Yes, I have had a Popeye's chicken sandwich. I've also had a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. I've had an Arby's chicken sandwich. I've had a chicken sandwich pretty much everywhere you have turned around because I love chicken. And no, not for your typical reasons, because I'm black. But no, I love chicken. Who doesn't love chicken? If you don't like chicken, please raise your hand. Please. I don't see any hands being raised. So everybody must love chicken at some point or another, whether it's deep fried chicken, baked chicken, rotisserie chicken, you know, grilled chicken, chicken wings. But everybody was going crazy over this chicken sandwich. Like, oh my God, this is ambrosia. This is the best thing since Eve ate that apple in the Garden of Eden. I love this chicken sandwich. And for some reason, it seems as though something major always happens in the middle of a Facebook craze or a popular thing that is going on. Just last week, you know, Jeffrey Epstein was supposed to, go to trial and he committed suicide. Everybody was talking about that, you know, and then everybody forgot about that when the Popeye's chicken sandwich came out. And then they ran out of chicken, people. How are you running out of chicken sandwiches at a place called Popeye's Chicken Sandwich? You know, chicken place or whatever the hell they call it. But how do you run out of chicken sandwiches? It's like, come on. You introduce this sandwich to the world. People go crazy over it. You're making millions upon millions of dollars based off of word of mouth advertising alone. and you run out of the product, this could be a genius marketing scheme because, hey, let's just stop making the sandwiches. Say we ran out of them. And then when they come back, like the McRib people, everyone goes crazy when the McRib comes back on the menu over at McDonald's. The McRib is probably one of the most disgusting sandwiches I've ever eaten in my life. I hate it. It's like some ground pork on a bun with sauce slathered on it. It's just disgusting. It's not even a rib. It's just in the shape of a rib. It's like a chicken nugget. I mean, like the fake chicken nuggets you get from the Dollar Tree that you can buy. And it's like 10 of them in a bag. It is disgusting. The McRib is the worst sandwich ever created, but people go crazy over it like it's the best thing since sliced bread. I hate the McRib. Now, the Popeye's chicken sandwich, on the other hand, is a very delectable treat. Delicious. Really is delicious. It's good. It's seasoned perfectly. It's wonderful. But it does not have the effects on me as a Chick-fil-A spicy chicken deluxe. With some pepper jack cheese. I wish to God I had one right now, but I don't. Maybe I should just go ride to KFC and get one. Oh, KFC. KFC is probably the worst chicken place in the world. I said it. They have everything but decent chicken anymore. I hate KFC. I hate the people that work at KFC. I hate the ground that KFC is built on. You know, Colonel Sanders had a good thing going until they bought him out, just like every board of directors do, like they did with McDonald's. And KFC just does not have a good product to me. Now, if you want some good chicken, I mean some chicken that'll put some meat on your bones. I mean some of the greasiest chicken in the entire planet with the best, crispiest skin. And the biscuits that they make, the honey biscuits, are just wonderful. And take yourself to Church's Chicken. Yes. A whole segment on chicken, people. I'm doing it. And I don't care because, honest to God, chicken is one of my favorite foods of everything. It is the most delectable animal on the planet. Now, the guy who decided one day to just go and plop one of those birds in the head and fry it up with some butter and some Crisco grease, you know, was a genius. But chicken is the fruit of meats, you know? It's the fruit of meats. What am I talking about? My goodness. But chicken is delicious. That's why everything, you know, when somebody says, you know, hey, it tastes like chicken. I know chicken doesn't really have a flavor. I mean, unless you get some real chicken from a farm, then you have a nice, the DV farm, they got ducks up there, don't they? They don't have chickens. They do got a chicken up there. Yeah, they got chickens up there. So next time you go up in New Hampshire and you ride by the DV farm, just go and smash a chicken in the head, pluck its feather off, and put it over a fire, a nice wooden fire, because chicken is delicious. But let's get back on topic here. The world went crazy over Popeye's chicken sandwich. They ran out of chicken, which could be an ingenious marketing tool. Make something so delicious, have lines wrapped around your building, have people fighting on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat over this chicken sandwich. Now, that's what happened. I've seen numerous videos of people fighting over this chicken sandwich in recent weeks. And I must say, it's delicious, but, you know, I'm not about to fight over a chicken sandwich. Hey, you ran out of chicken? Okay, I'll just go to Chick-fil-A and get me another chicken sandwich that is just as equally as good, you know? Now, so many people have posted up memes. Memes, not memes or whatever the hell you be saying. But these memes regarding chicken and Popeyes and KFC and Chick-fil-A and all these other delicious chicken places, comparing them is outright sacrilege. You can't compare the recipe of one chicken sandwich to another chicken sandwich. They use completely different breads. They have completely different recipes. One is more crispy, where one is more soft and more of a fillet. One has that crunch and the bite of the pickle, where one has the spice that you're looking for. You know, that delicious spice. It's two different chicken sandwiches here, people, we're talking about. We're talking about two different chicken sandwiches. Man, this week, though, in the news, it has been a pretty up and down cycle, you know, with people scared about a recession, China and the trade wars and Trump and, you know, the tariffs. You know, you got people, you know, R. Kelly and judges and a whole bunch of people saying racial stuff and everything's racist and, you know, you're a bigot and Nazis can't draw Nazi symbols. So, you know, it's just a whole bunch of BS going on in the news, and I don't want to talk about any of it. Any of it. Because one thing I have realized is that the United States does not need another opinionated news show. We don't. We need more entertainment. We need to laugh more, because it seems as though we have lost the laughter that we used to have. Talking about gay people used to be funny. Racial jokes used to be funny. Transgender jokes used to be funny. Height jokes used to be funny. Native American jokes used to be funny. School shooting jokes used to be funny. But now nothing seems to be funny anymore, because everything has to be politicized. I said it. Everything has to be politicized. We have to make a effort to try and make anything that happens into a symbol of our oppression for some group. Whether it's liberals, whether it is conservatives, whether it's the evangelicals, whether it's the LGBTQ, XYZ, NLOP, OKCDW, RNOP. You're down with OPP. Yeah, you know me. It's that, you know, everyone has to be so upset about something. But no one wants to laugh anymore. You know, Dave Chappelle released a stand up on Netflix. Pretty funny. Talking about Jesse Smollett and, you know, his beating up himself and things of that nature. It's funny. But not everyone's going to find it funny. No. And I can hear some of you DVs right now. I don't even think Dave Chappelle is funny anyway. Oh, I said anyway. Anyhow, not funny at all. Not funny at all. But it's okay. You probably find somebody like Jeff Foxworthy funny. You know, it's so funny when they say you might be a redneck if you look at a computer and you think of the TV. You know, whatever he be saying. I don't think it's that funny. Oh man. I do like Jeff Foxworthy. He is pretty funny. I just wish he would do some new jokes instead of that old shtick that he used to do back in 1991 or whatever it was. Yeah. We don't find things funny anymore. You know, I look at so many memes that can be so distasteful, but they're hilarious, people. And that's the thing. We should be able to make fun of who we want to, when we want to, where we want to, how we want to. Because guess what? This is America, the land of the brave and the home of the free. And with that, I'm going to end the show. I'm Marky Davis, coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia. And coming up next is going to be Barracks Talk after the other thing. I don't know the name of it. Whatever. You're mad at me. But Barracks Talk is coming up after this other thing. And then, yeah, going to have some fun tonight. Have some fun tonight. All right, everybody. This has been the Marky Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net, WDVR. Love you guys. Catch me on the flip side. See you later.